is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of Mac's List. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. One of the best ways to get good at job hunting is to talk to people who do it well. That's why once a month, I interview a Mac's List reader who found a job they love. Our guest today is Dan Thornton. He's a training associate at Management Systems International. It's a global development firm based in Alexandria, Virginia. Dan Thornton believes in the power of referrals. In a story you can find on the Mac's List website, Dan says he learned about the job he has now from a coworker. Dan, why do you love your job?
Well, I love my job because I'm able to interact with a lot of people throughout my company. So my job entails taking a lot of different sectors, whether it be the security side or the technical side, and going to them and say, hey, how you need information other people need to know. How can we consolidate that into a training, a video, whatever the media may be, and disperse it throughout the company? So I'm really able to work in a lot of different mediums, meet a lot of different people from around my company, and learn about a lot of different subjects, which is, you know, it's very, what's the word I'm trying to look for? It's challenging, but it's also rewarding at the same time. So yeah, there it is.
Well, terrific. And let's talk about your job search. You found the job through word of mouth. How did that happen, Dan?
So this is, my coworker is also going to kill me once this story goes out, but it's fine.
Uh-oh,
it's
you're gonna ask your coworker on the show?
Yeah, I'm gonna do it, Mac. So essentially, I was at my previous company, and I wasn't particularly happy in my position. I was learning a lot of new skills and in the kind of field that I wanted to be in, but I didn't really enjoy my job per se in the visceral sense. Like, it wasn't what I really wanted to do. And so I kind of, you know, saw an open opportunity. Sorry if this is a long-winded story, but I saw an open opportunity in our company and I applied for it. And essentially somebody within my other company said, hey, you don't have enough experience in this field, but, you know, here's some things that you can do in the meantime and, you know, get that experience and then come back to us later. And so I was a little downtrodden, but I had told my coworker, who is actually my boss, and just was like, hey, this is what I wanted to do. This is something I really am passionate about being, and I'm glad I'm in this field, but, you know, this is my long-term career goals. And he was really great about intaking that information and, you know, talking about ways that I might be able to tangentially get experience in that, but also do my job duties. Anyways, he was a part of another company. And one day he just, you know, we have this conversation early in the morning. We have our check-in and he just turns to me. He's like, I'm going to kill myself for doing this, but you need to look at this job post that just came about on LinkedIn. And he shows me this job post and he's like, hey, I know the people at this company. This is my previous organization. You know, apply if this is something you want to do, I'll support you. I'll help you, you know, apply for this job and I'll give you a recommendation and also give you like the ins and outs of this. And so I ended up applying to the job and then, you know, talking with somebody and getting the interview and eventually actually getting the job. So in a lot of the ways, the only reason I even knew that this was a job before was because he told me. So there it is.
That's a great story, Dan. And one of the most striking things about it is that you had a relationship with your supervisor that you could talk about your long-term goals and the fact that you were actually interested in moving somewhere else. Am I hearing that right?
Yeah, I think I've had a lot of supervisors before, and I think the best ones are always those who want to put you first and want to help you develop, even if that means that eventually you will leave. But yeah, it's definitely true. My best supervisors have always been invested in my development. So yeah.
Some listeners might be reluctant to share their job search goals and in fact, even the fact that they're interested in leaving and moving on to another job with a boss. What advice would you have for them about that if they're reluctant to do that?
I mean, I would, and you know, it's easy for me to say this because my partner is more of an introvert and she always is like, well, you could do that, but I couldn't do that. But it's, you know, it's hard. I understand, but it's your life and your career. And especially if you're not happy in your situation, you just got to go for it, you know, because if you get backlash, because I've gotten backlash before. I mean, I've literally had said that to a supervisor and then be like, you haven't been there here that long. You can't do that. You can't do that until I'm done with you, essentially. And it's like, well, what the heck? Like, what am I supposed to do with that? You know, you should be invested in me and you should be wanting me to succeed, because then if you're a good supervisor like that, I will recommend other people to come and work for you and be that. But I think it shows you where you stand. And I think good supervisors will help you. And if they don't help you, then that's your sign to get out of there.
You work in international development. It's a field a lot of people want to get into, and it's very competitive. What's your best advice both for breaking into the sector, Dan, and for building a career in that field?
So I've actually, it was so weird because I took like a tangential route to this space because, you know, I got my master's in education policy because I thought I was going to go into government or whatever. And we were doing, you know, one of those exercises where you map out your goals. And my goal was to go overseas again because I'm a third world kid. And that's my inclination. And my partner just turns to me and is like, well, why don't you just do that? Why don't, if this is what you want to do, why don't we actually like get you somewhere that you can accomplish that instead of this whole loop-de-loop? And so I did, and luckily for me, I was in the Peace Corps and I have a lot of people who do work in the international development field, but I've been striving to get into this field for a long time. And so the truth is you're going to have to start at the bottom. You're going to need to take a PM role, which is a project management role. That's like where a lot of people begin. And it's one of the very few industries I've seen where this is actually a thing. Like you have to start in something you don't want to do in order to get to something you want to do. I don't know what it is. It's the mentality of the situation, or I don't know, of the industry, whatever it is. But even in my organization that I work for now, a lot of people who go up through the ranks begin at an internship position. So I would say taking an internship position is not a bad thing at all, especially in the organization that I work for. You will, if you apply yourself and you really want to be here, they will promote you. And my organization is really fond of like promoting from within. And so I've seen a lot of people who go from intern to PM to the field that they actually want to be in or whatever it may be. But that is, it sucks, but like you're going to be a PM. That's what I would say.
Let's talk more about the job you have now. You got that referral. What challenges did you face when you were... You reached out, what happened next, and what challenges did you face, and how did you overcome them?
So I reached out. So it was interesting because I knew exactly who the person was going to be, and my supervisor, they gave me the person who this is going to do, and I reached out to them, and I was like, hey, I'd love to have a chat about this position, you know, get that informational interview. And she explicitly told me, hey, I can't do this. You know, this is an active position and you're applying for it. I know you're applying for it because my coworker had given her the heads up. So I was going to go into this thing blind, which I rarely do on interviews these days. I was, because, you know, usually you talk to that person and you get a sense of like what the job is and what the construction of all of this is. And I had gotten a lot of, organizational knowledge from my previous supervisor. So I knew what the company was, but I did not know what this job was going to be. So I was coming in blind and hot. And I was just like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Just like focus. This is a new thing. Don't worry about it. I had questions about you know, is this an HR position? Is this an actual training position? I don't know what to do. So that was my biggest hurdle going into this. And to be honest, I just kind of relaxed, said, this is something the job description after reading thousands of them throughout the years, I just could kind of tell this is something I wanted to do and this is something I could do. So I just focused on that. It's like, I know I can do this. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. And I just told myself that 1,000 times before the interview happened. And that was it.
And it worked. You went into the interview?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And any other preparation besides chatting with your colleague about the organization and its history, other steps you took before you walked into the interview room?
So I have a weird background, and like I worked in a workforce program, and I was a job hunter to people, or job developer was my actual title. But so I've been through a lot of interviews, and I've prepped a lot of people for interviews. I'm not the best at it, I will say, but my partner is. She's actually the one who I would send people to prep. We used to work in it's a long story. Anyways. So she has a lot of good techniques about preparing for interviews. And she told me, hey, write down all of your answers and read them out loud. And so we do this ritual a lot now. So I write down my answers, like the basic ones, like who you are, like why you want this job. Also, you looking at the job description, if there's a certain point that you know you need to get to or something that seems prevalent, you write down the answer to that, like, how do I know how to do this? And then you just say them out loud. And you say them out loud. We like rehearse. So the day before, I'll talk to her and she'll ask me the question and I'll give my response and she'll be like, she'll tell me, oh, you know, be shorter here or, you know, elongate, really emphasize this point. And I'll get mad and throw up my hands. I'll just be like, I don't want to do this anymore. Why is this happening? Like, I hate this job prep. This sucks. And then she'll calm me down. She'll say, it's okay. I know you're upset because you're worried about not getting this job. It's like getting all that anxiety out. Cause I'm also just being like, all right, it's fine. I'm going to get this job. It's going to be okay. So yeah, that's what I usually do. I freak out before the job so I can like not freak out on the day.
All right. And it sounds like you put that on the list before as part of interview prep, freak out before interview and then be calm when you're in the room.
Well, Carr would say that's how I normally do it. I got to hone in all my normalcy into that interview. So I have to just get all my craziness out before.
Terrific. Any other tips or things that you did before to prepare that helped you either in the interview or in the conversations afterwards?
So now that we do everything virtual, I made sure, since I was working before, I made sure to block off time before and after the interview so I could just kind of get in the headspace, like literally a 30-minute period before the interview and 30-minute period after, to just kind of get in the headspace of, hey, I need to calm down. You know, I go out, I step away from my computer and I get a cup of tea. You just sit down, you kind of get I go over my answers. I just kept on telling myself, hey, this is going to be fine. I put on nice clothes. I know this is probably a big thing now since we do a lot of virtual interviews. I make sure that my background and like my camera is all set up and that the lighting is right. I'm a bald man. There's a lot of reflection coming off this dome. So like, make sure I don't look ridiculous in the shot and, you know, get it ready and sit down and really just like prepare myself. And then afterwards, I don't think about it. I tell myself, there's nothing to think about. It's over. It's totally done.
I want to change gears, Dan. And in addition to your job search, I mean, you had been looking for work for a while. And about a year and a half ago, you started a podcast about looking for work, and you were out of work at the time. The show is still on the air. It's called Will Work For Podcast. And you talk very candidly about your past job searches on that program. Did that show help you find this job?
I wouldn't say that this, well, that would be not giving people enough credit. I would say yes, in portion. Like, we've talked to a lot of coaches and, you know, hiring managers and people throughout this whole year and a half. And it really, it has opened my eyes. It's given me strategies to use. It's helped me focus on my life goals. You know, in taking this information from these other people and hearing their processes have helped us start to like to apply that in my own life. I don't always do such a great job of it, but yeah, I would say that it's definitely changed my way of thinking in a lot of ways about how to reach out to people, how to like set right life goals. Even when I was looking for the job and I did actually get the job offer, it was like, how do I actually negotiate? What do I do? I've talked to so many people from across so many different sectors that it has given me a more understanding of how to approach this process, which is just nerve-wracking and you want to die all the time, but it's just been a very good insight.
Was it difficult to talk about your own job searches on your program?
I guess. I don't know. I'm a pretty candid person and I'm all about like getting it out there. You just got to get it out, because if you let it get in you, or like if you box it up, it just consumes you. So part of the process in the beginning really was me and my podcast partner, Brendan. We were both out of work and we just had all these questions and all this, you know, anger, confusion, just all of the feelings going, doing this. And we had done it so many times that it seems so unending at some times that we just, one of our questions was just like, how do we get this done? How do we talk to somebody that'll make us feel better about this? And yeah, so that's kind of what it all came out. So I just kind of channel that all the time.
What's the best job search advice you've heard on your show?
The best job search advice. One of the things I literally quote to Brendan all the time is when we talk about, you know, finding your tribe. And we've heard people talk about this in different fashions, different ways. It's about finding those people who help prop you up and help push you through this hard time in your life. You know, it's sometimes you need to go seek those people, whether they be mentors, whether they be whoever they may be, people in your life, people outside of your life. You have to be a little brave and try to find those people who can prop you up and get you to where you need to be. And some of the times it's about having hard conversations with people you know to say, hey, I want this and I need your support on this and I need your support in this specific way. And because I know I think a lot about, you know, people who don't have, we talk a lot of to people about, you know, going on LinkedIn and expanding your network. But I think a lot about those people who come out of high school, who don't have the, you know, the network and the support system that I might have and others might have, whether it be wealth or just people in their lives to give them that guidance. And it's not easy to do that, but I think if you could start at small steps and really find and really target those people who can do that to you and prop you up and support you, then I think things will be better. They can help with that guidance.
And finally, Dan, what's your number one job search tip?
Number one job search tip. And this is something that's taken me a long time to figure out is, and Mac, you've told us this before, is like, don't focus on the job descriptions and finding the jobs. I think that's the biggest thing. And what I mean by that is I used to spend an incalculable amount of hours on Idealist, on ZipRecruiter, and all of those sites, all the sites that everyone's already heard of to find the jobs. And I was just like, a friend of mine used to give me a piece of advice. It's like, you need to apply to 50 jobs a day. And I really ingrained that in my head for a long time. It's like, if I'm not applying to 5 or 10 jobs a day, then I'm failing, essentially. And that's just quantity over quality. And it's taken me a really, really long time to learn this, but it's more about finding the places and the organizations that you want to work for, and then digging into it and getting that job, because that's the only way that you're A, going to be happy, and B, going to put the amount of effort that it takes to really get that job. Because, you know, Mac, you've told me this before. A lot of other career people have told me before. It's about networking and like really letting people know who you are in order to get that job that you want. And that takes a lot of time. And if you're on those job boards and you're just applying to those jobs, you're really just taking away time from what you actually should be doing.
Well, Dan, thanks for sharing your story. To learn more about Dan Thornton's job search, visit maxlist.org/stories and check out the MaxList website for dozens of other success stories. I also hope you'll check out Dan's excellent podcast, We'll Work For a Podcast, and listen to him and his co-host, Brendan. On the second Friday of every month, we add a new interview with a MaxList reader who's found a dream job. Go to maxlist.org/stories. In the meantime, thank you for listening to today's bonus episode of Find Your Dream Job. This show is produced by MaxList. Susan Thornton Huff schedules our guests and writes our newsletter. Lisa Kislin Barry Anderson manages our social media. Our sound engineer is Will Watts. Ryan Morrison at Prod Folly Productions edits the show. Dawn Mole creates our transcripts, and our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you soon.